You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here tonight. What a great turnout. We're so glad you're here. Thank you for your generosity and giving. I'm so thankful for a church that gives and believes in the mission. It's just awesome. Man, thank you if you're a guest tonight, too. Can we give our guests a hand? Thank you for being here. Come on, let's give them a hand. Time to wake up. Amen. Well, I am so excited about this next sermon series. Hey, doesn't the parking lot look great? Yeah, it's so awesome. And I've been so excited because I've had gas fumes all week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I haven't had gas. That's when the chili cook-off comes. Anyways, moving right along. But man, it's so awesome. I think it'll be finished by Sunday. So thank you for being flexible with us tonight. It's just great to see what's happening with our parking lot, getting that all set and all ready for the winter. Those things are really important. We want to make sure our house looks good and that we're keeping everything up. Sometimes parking lots are the last thing for remember, but it's so nice to get that done. It's about a 30-year-old parking lot, and it was in desperate need of that. So thank God that he provided with that. Tonight, also want to remind you that Growth Track number 3, a great way to get connected to our church is going through Growth Track. This is the third week of Growth Track. For this month, we're looking at discovering your purpose. It's the second week. I was a little bit ahead, finding freedom. And really getting plugged in. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to find freedom, come at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. It's the best way to get plugged into our church, and you can jump in at any time. So finding freedom, if you're like, man, I really would love to find freedom in my life, that is a great place to do it. Don't forget about the 40 days of prayer. Tonight, I'm super stoked. I get to reintroduce one of my favorite people in the world. And I get to introduce some of you to my most favorite person in the world, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And I've just been so excited because he is so incredible. He's so incredible. And we're going to begin this new message series that really digs into the idea of who is the Holy Spirit. And I know on Sunday we talked about a breath of fresh air, but the Holy Spirit really is our breath of fresh air. And I forgot that was even my sermon title on Sunday. That's how bad my memory is. And today I'm like, oh, this is a great title as I was working on it this morning. I go, let's call it A Breath of Fresh Air. And then I go, oh, man, I just preached that on Sunday. So you're going to have to just work along with me here. Is that okay for everybody? Because I think it's, we can all use that breath of fresh air, especially after the last couple of days. But this question of who the Holy Spirit is, how does he work in our lives? And so many times when you hear the name the Holy Spirit, there's misunderstandings, there's misconceptions when it comes to the Holy Spirit. People make fun of what they don't know. They make fun of it. They're like, well, I'm really good with God the Father. Man, I'm great with Jesus, but I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. I don't know about that. We look at all of the misconceptions. We look at the things that we've seen in our lives maybe or what we've heard about the Holy Spirit. And we start to go, man, I don't know about him. I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I kind of keep him at arm's length. And then I don't want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. I want to look at how he operates in our lives. And over this sermon series, we're going to look at his personality. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go fruit by fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I think is sometimes really misunderstood. And we're going to go gift by gift. And my goal is for you to take a real practical look at the Holy Spirit and how he wants to work in your life today. It's not just about the gifts. And we stop sometimes there. We think Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. We think Holy Spirit and the gifts that are mentioned. But I want to challenge you tonight. The Holy Spirit, that's a small part of who he truly is. The Holy Spirit wants to get down inside of your heart and change you. The Holy Spirit wants to do life with you. And my goal is to show you what the Bible truly has to say about the Holy Spirit. If you've picked up misconceptions along the way, I want to answer those. If somebody has been whispering in your ear all your life, you better stay away from that Holy Spirit. Because there's some strange things that happen when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. I want to change those misconceptions. I want to speak to you truth about what the Bible says. And tonight we're going to go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And we are so familiar with this portion of Scripture, most of us. But I want us to take a different look at it. I want us to gain some understanding about who the Holy Spirit is from the Scripture and even how people have responded to the Holy Spirit. Jesus had a great deal to say about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout Scripture. But you have to look at really Acts 2 to see the culmination of this Holy Spirit showing up on the scene and to get a good understanding of why the Holy Spirit was sent for you and I. Jesus came to earth, and I'm going to give you a little recap, kind of a 30,000-foot recap. Jesus came to earth. He lived on this earth for 33 years, paid for our sin by dying on the cross. 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave. He spent 40 days here on earth in his glorified body. He was bumping through walls and meeting with his disciples and probably freaking people out. Like, Jesus shows up, and he was here in his glorified body. He was also giving direction. And saying, this is what's coming next. Be ready. I'm sending you someone. I'm sending you someone because I'm going away. I'm sending you someone. He prepared them for what was to come next. He taught them. He got them ready for the Great Commission. That great assignment that we've all been given to go into all the world and to spread the gospel. During that time, he also said, do not do anything until you've received the Holy Spirit. Go to Jerusalem. Wait. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. At the end of 40 days, he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, which Scripture tells us that he's going to come back to in the second coming. He's coming back to that same place that he left, and that's going to happen soon, I believe. That second coming of God, of Jesus to be here. He had told the disciples, go and wait in a room until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were going to need the Spirit to, one, accomplish the mission, but two, live according to how we've been called to live. The Holy Spirit was our partner, is our partner. They were going to need the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, we see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. We see an outpouring where the Holy Spirit shows up. The Holy Spirit was poured out in a pretty powerful way. This is the first time the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on people. Let's read it. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit makes it, and Josh and I were talking about this. It's so good. We kind of talked about this before the service. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit makes it so we can't relate to other people. But do you know this is the first time that people that were in that city heard the gospel in their own language? It's what made Christians relatable to those people. And I submit to you, the Holy Spirit is what makes us relatable to the lost. When we walk in the Holy Spirit, such a great point. But as you read into Acts 2, you see people's response. Because usually when you don't understand something, or you have misconceptions, or you haven't really grasped a hold of it, you'll make fun of it, or you'll push it away. Acts 2, 12 through 13, and all were amazed and perplexed, going back to where the Holy Spirit fell in that upper room. And I've skipped a few scriptures, but all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But other mockers said, they're all filled with new wine, basically saying they're all drunk. Like they went into that upper room and they're having a massive party. They're all drunk, okay? Some people were amazed and perplexed by this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but others mocked it, made fun of what was happening. People thought it was weird. They didn't understand what God was doing. You always criticize or make fun of something that you don't understand. It's a fear of the unknown. And tonight I want to bust through that fear of the unknown. I want to give you a new perspective on the Holy Spirit, which causes... Because what happens if you have a fear of the unknown, you hold the Holy Spirit at arm's length. You go, well, I know about him, but I'm not opening my heart to him. And we make a huge mistake as believers to take that kind of perspective. We miss out on all the good things that God wants to do. So Peter stood up, and he began to explain in Acts 2, 14 through 16. Before I forgot, does everybody have notes? We have notes tonight, so I want to make sure that you all have them. If you don't, slip up your hand and an usher can get you taken care of. Do you guys like the notes? Is that good? Okay. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. This was in response to all of the people going, what's going on here? They were amazed, perplexed. This is what Peter said. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered in the prophet Joel." He was basically saying, this is not what you think it is. You need to get a hold of what this is. Peter had to do some explaining, and I want to do some explaining for you tonight. My goal is to dispel myths and provide information from the Bible that will help you change the mindsets and the misconceptions, maybe, of the Holy Spirit. My goal is to clear up any confusion that you have or anything that you might think you know about the Holy Spirit, but that's causing you to literally keep him at arm's length. Maybe you just don't know enough about him, and I want to give you that information. My hope and prayer is to help people really understand the truth about the Holy Spirit and who he is, because when we get a hold of that, he'll change our lives. He changes our lives. Like I said, people say, well, I'm good with God, I'm good with Jesus, but man, what's up with the Holy Ghost? I'm not sure. I can tell you this, if you understand, you'll want more of him in your life. If you understand who the Holy Spirit is, you're going to want more of him. If you're kind of like, oh, I'm a little afraid, then this message is for you. Don't get antsy. I know some of you might be getting antsy right now. I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. Woo! But I don't want you to miss out on what he wants to do in your life, because you're holding him at arm's length. I want you to embrace him and open up your heart. You'll miss out on what the prophet Joel prophesied in the Old Testament, and Peter shared with the people as he explained what was happening. I want to read it in Acts 2:17 through 21. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Anybody want to admit that you've been having dreams? I'm just kidding. That was funny to me, right? Saying old men. Okay, I'm moving right along. I've been having dreams, I admit it. All right. "Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and the magnificent day, and it shall come to pass. Everyone who calls on the Lord shall be saved." Will you underline the word everyone? Everyone who calls on the name will be saved. What a powerful promise to all who invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of their lives. So why did the Holy Spirit come? I think it's really two simple reasons, and it's as simple as this. It's not for the manifestation of the gifts. That's part of the Holy Spirit. It's not so that we can all get together and feel good. But number one, it's to empower us to accomplish the Great Commission, and two, to help us live an abundant Christian life. That's why God sent us the Holy Spirit. The gifts are part of that. The fruit is part of that. But it's not the whole. The fruit, definitely. But the gifts is where we kind of get hung up. I want each of us, if you will, tonight, and in this next series, give me a blank page. Turn a page in your notebook and say, it's blank. Everything I've learned, everything I know, I'm putting it all on the table, and I want to know about the Holy Spirit. Give me a blank page. Put your preconceptions away, your fears away, what you've always thought you knew about the Holy Spirit, and let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit in a new and a fresh way in the next coming weeks. How many are you with me? Let's learn. Let's say, you know what, we're going to put everything aside, and we're going to learn what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit, and starting tonight. Tonight, I want to look at point number one, what he's not. He is not an it. He's not an it. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. It's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit out of the Trinity. All throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a him. Okay, and it has nothing to do with him. All I'm saying is that shows you that he's a person. Shows you that the Holy Spirit is a person. If you see him as a ghost or a cosmic force, you will relate to him differently. But if you see him as a person, you will relate to him personally. He wants to relate to you personally. The word ghost, in fact, there are words that can't be translated over into the English correctly from the Greek. There are things that they haven't done really a great job at translating over. The word ghost is one of those that they really did not do a good job translating into English. In fact, we don't really even have a word that captures what the Holy Spirit is in the English. The Greek word for ghost is pneuma, which literally means a refreshing breath of fresh air. A refreshing breath of fresh air. It's like wind in your sails. You can't see it, but you know it's there. You want this in your life today. I can guarantee it. You want this kind of refreshing breath of fresh air. Now you see why I named this a breath of fresh air. It's not this ghostly, like I'm kind of scared, spooky kind of thing. The Holy Spirit is actually somebody that refreshes your heart and your spirit if you'll let him. A breath of fresh air. You definitely want it in your life. And I have news for you. The Holy Spirit wants to have a personal relationship with you. The second thing, if we can get it up on screen, he is not weird. That's what some of you think when you start thinking about the Holy Spirit. He's not weird. Maybe that's what you've seen happen at altars or you've seen it happen at other places. He is not weird. People are weird. I'm sometimes weird. God is not weird. Sometimes, yeah, you got me. We all get weird sometimes, but you can't let people and the way they act keep you from responding to God or push you away from God. The Holy Spirit is God, remember, everybody? Unfortunately, some of us are not basing our decisions on God or the Bible. We are making them on what we've seen people do and how they've acted or what they've told us. The truth is, everybody in this room respects the power of God. Sometimes the packaging has gotten us a little bit off. The packaging, right? It's gotten us a little bit off. Because we look at people and we go, well, if that's what the Holy Spirit is, I'm not sure I want it. And that's where we have to go. And don't worry about the packaging. Respect God. You can't throw away everything because some people have packaged the Holy Spirit in a wrong way. You miss out on all that God has for you if you do. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. If you close off your life to the Holy Spirit, you are closing your life off to God. They cannot be separated. Well, hello. That's why the statement, well, I'm good with God, I'm okay with Jesus, but boy, the Holy Spirit, they're the same. Three in one. So you can't do that. Point number two, who is the Holy Spirit then? Jesus shared a great deal about the Holy Spirit in conversation at the Last Supper. And if you look, every single one of these characteristic points about the Holy Spirit is personal. It's not about the manifestation in front of churches or in front of crowds. If we don't get the fact the Holy Spirit is personal, we've missed out. He wants to personally impact your life. Who is he? First of all, he's my inner voice. He's that voice that you hear, that small, still voice. He becomes that inner voice that I want each one of you to become familiar with. If you keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length in your life, it's going to be hard to hear his voice. You'll be walking through life alone on your own power. Why is this inner voice so important? Because this inner voice is what convicts our hearts. It's that inner voice that just as you're ready to step over the line and get into some trouble in your life, the Holy Spirit comes along and goes, man, that's probably not a great idea. And if you're listening to that small, still voice, sometimes it has to be a booming voice, right? Don't do that. Most of the time, though, it's quiet. And we can easily shut it out. Listen to that small, still voice when it comes to your heart. John 16:8 tells us when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Listen, God convicts, the Holy Spirit convicts. The enemy loves to condemn. He brings guilt and shame. That's how you know the difference. If it's guilt and shame and there's no way out, the enemy's trying to convince you that you've done so much wrong that you can never, that's guilt and shame. Conviction says, I've got a better way for you. Turn around and go the different way. Listen to that voice. I love that. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak even in this service tonight. He'll begin to say things in your heart by that small, still voice if you listen that maybe I'm not even saying to you. I've even heard people say to me from sermons, they say it back and they go, this is what I got. And I'm going like, I didn't even say that. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, especially if you've never given your life to the Lord before. You might be sitting in this room and all of a sudden you hear that still, small voice where he starts speaking and he starts drawing you. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Read that again. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how can you ignore him? How can you say, well, I'm good with God and Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, I don't know. The Holy Spirit always convicts. The enemy condemns, like I said. The second thing is, he is my teacher. He's my teacher. You can read the Bible, understand it, get revelation, even without having to go to Bible school when you got the Holy Spirit working in your life. The Scripture will come alive. He is your teacher. The Holy Spirit will cause the Bible to come alive. John 14:26 tells us, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Love what 1 John 2:27 from the NLT says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. Now that's not saying you go home and go, well, I don't need anybody to speak into my life. I think you use both, the Holy Spirit, but you look at that and you go, man, the Holy Spirit will speak to me. He'll cause the Bible to come alive. In the New Testament, more than one time, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, can open our minds to understand. The third thing about who he is he is my guide. He's my guide. If you're trying to figure out what to do or you're at a crossroads in your life, the Holy Spirit will be your guide if you invite him in. He will give you direction if you listen. Sometimes things can be so confusing. Especially, have you ever come up to a crossroads, like where you go, man, I could go this way or I could go that way, or I don't know which way to go. And aren't you thankful the Holy Spirit gives you direction? You might even say, well, he's never spoke to me, but he opens doors and closes them. That's the same as direction. He is your guide. Listen, John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He only speaks what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Who does he hear it from? God the Father. You're literally getting a download from God the Father through the Holy Spirit into your heart. That's how it works. And I wonder if people can't hear from God because they've shut the Holy Spirit out of their life. He is the one that speaks into your heart. He's the one that's right beside you. Isaiah 30:21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Fourth point is, he is my friend. I love the fact that we can know the Holy Spirit on a personal level. He is my friend. Sometimes when believers tell me I have no friends, I go, yes, you do. The Holy Spirit's on your side. The Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. In fact, your best friend. How does that play out? The Holy Spirit wants to be your, you can talk to him like a friend. Many times during the day, I'll ask the Holy Spirit what he thinks, or ask for wisdom, or get some wisdom for what's ahead. He wants to be your best friend. What does that mean? When you have a best friend, we need him so close. We need to be so close to him because he has nothing but good things for your life. And as you're close to him, those good things will unfold in your life. John 14:16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That word counselor, throughout Scripture, throughout the different translations, some says friend, some says helper, some says, the Greek word for counselor is parakletos, which means one who is called alongside to help you. The Holy Spirit has been called to come alongside of you and help you through every aspect of life. Imagine you shut him out, who's your helper? Who's the one that's going to come and help you? A great picture of this, and it's such a great mental picture, is that you come along, you pick up one side of the log, the Holy Spirit comes along and picks up the other, and together you move forward. That's kind of what that's meaning. The point is, he can be someone that you and I can relate to on a regular basis. He wants to be your friend. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the message, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Now, it's interesting because for many people, you almost want to put a period where it says God. The extravagant love of God, boom, it stops at salvation. And what I'm telling you tonight is you have to remember the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. God has so much more for you than what you've already experienced. And you're going to uncover that. You're going to tap into that when you allow the Holy Spirit to move into your life. Everything begins at the cross. It all starts there. But many people put that period after the love of God and forget to develop the intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And I am challenging each one of you in this series, develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. It will change your life. I want you to have Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. You can't go to heaven without it. I want you to have this relationship with God the Father. But guess what? They are not here. Scripture says they are in heaven. God is seated on his throne. Jesus is at the right hand. The Holy Spirit is who's here. Because when Jesus went back home, he said, I'm sending you a comforter. It's the Holy Spirit that's here on this earth to become your best friend. Unfortunately, because of the name or what people have seen, maybe they hear that word ghost. Again, they say, I can do it with the Father. I can do Jesus' Son. But I don't know about all this Holy Spirit stuff. And I'm telling you tonight, open your hearts to him. He wants to change you. Some of you have been even told to stay away from people that believe and love the Holy Spirit. Man, stay away from those people. They hang off the chandeliers. It gets crazy. But what those people are telling you is they're, in essence, they're saying, stay away from those God people. Stay away from those people who love God and who want the fullness of God in their lives. If you push away the Holy Spirit in your life, you're pushing away God. So point number three, the Holy Spirit in me. What does the Holy Spirit do in me? And I love Ephesians 4:30. It says from the Message, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Will you underline that? Don't take such a gift for granted. We cannot take the gift of the Holy Spirit for granted in our lives. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's simply about inviting him into your life by praying three simple little prayers. Jesus taught us this. So much of the gospel is so simple. It's just easy. And this is where it's at. First of all, Holy Spirit, show me. Holy Spirit, show me. Help me to know. Inside of me, show me. This actually, we should pray every day, Psalms 139, 23 through 24. If this is the only prayer you pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Holy Spirit, search me. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me to the everlasting. We are praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal. We're praying in that prayer, you're praying that he reveal himself to you and also reveal who you truly are, to open your eyes. I pray that prayer that the Holy Spirit would reveal himself to me and then reveal me to me. Look at Ezekiel 26, 26 through 27, and that's not in your notes, so you'll want to write that down, and it's not up on the screen either. Ezekiel 26, 26 through 27, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my rules. If you're tired here tonight, if you're tired of always trying to live the perfect Christian life, wouldn't it be so nice for the Holy Spirit to be inside of you, helping you to do what needs to be done? See, because we try to do it on our own when the Holy Spirit's not invited. When the Holy Spirit comes into my life, he does the work inside of me. He helps me to do exactly what that scripture says. If you will just pray Psalms 139, 23, and 24 and give the Holy Spirit room in your life, you will see him do great things. That's, Holy Spirit, you have room in my life. You're welcome. That song we sang tonight is perfect. You are welcome here. Not, he's welcome here, yes he is, but this is where it starts. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Make room in your heart for the Holy Spirit to do that. That may mean he wants to empty you out of things that are filling your heart right now. Second thing, Holy Spirit, change me. If he has shown you something that he needs to change, that you need to change, ask him to change you. I love this about God, the Holy Spirit. He's made a way. He's not just going, you need to change this, and I'll be back in 2 weeks to make sure you have. Right? He's saying, I want you to change this, and I'm here to help you do it. He's your partner. He's your counselor. He's right beside you. And I think a lot of the reason why Christians today stay stuck where they're at is they're not inviting the Holy Spirit into the situation. The Holy Spirit is saying, I will help you if you let me. Some of us, we have this perspective that God's looking at our lives going, all of this is wrong. And we're trying to fix it on our own. And what Scripture says, you need the Holy Spirit to help you. Help you. It's incredibly important that you don't stop where you are on your spiritual journey. It's incredibly important that you take spiritual steps. In fact, if you'll let me, as your pastor, I want to lead you on a spiritual journey. I want you to find your next step to keep growing. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. For the Lord is the Spirit, a breath of fresh air, I put in parentheses. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into glorious image. You will not experience freedom in your life without the power of the Holy Spirit. You just won't. The power of the Holy Spirit brings freedom in your life. So take the next step. Let Him change what needs to be changed. Every time you take a step to grow, you can look at your life and you can say, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. He's helping to change us into His image. But we have to give Him permission to change us. Some of us are pretty happy right where we're at. And God's saying, I'm not. I want to change you. Holy Spirit wants to change you. He wants to show you. He wants to change you. And third, He wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit fills me. Essentially, we're saying, God, give me everything you have. I want it. Fill me to overflowing. If I asked you a question in this room, and the question was this, how many of you would say, I already have everything that God has to offer me? I'm not asking you to raise your hand because no one would raise their hand, I bet. No one thinks that. That's why you have to say to God, I want more of you. I want more of your work in my life. Fill me. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not talking. The wine is symbolic at that point. But what it's saying is, don't follow your own sense. Don't follow how you feel. Don't follow the ups and the downs. Don't do whatever you feel like doing. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and lead you and guide you. If you don't pray, Holy Spirit, fill me, a person starts doing life on their own power, and we run out of energy very quickly, don't we? We have very limited energy, but I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit has unlimited energy. If you're tired tonight, that might be a sign that you need to just fall into His arms and say, fill me, Holy Spirit. You have to have someone else working on the inside of you, or you'll be the one working. And your life only has room for the Holy Spirit to fill you. So whatever else is filling that spot, time to say, Holy Spirit, help me to change. Help me to get at what's not supposed to be there. I want you to also notice something, and this is something that being around Christians for my whole life, I've heard, well, I've been filled. I was filled one time back in, you know, like 1995 when I was listening to some really good music from Brownsville. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's right. What does Acts 13:52 say about that? And the disciples were continually, underline the word continually, filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Two things, joy and the Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Acts, the disciples were continually filled. They got filled and then got filled again and again and again. They needed God's presence. Simply put, in this next series, my prayer for you is to be filled again and again. I want you to pray, Holy Spirit, show me the ways I need to be growing in my life. Help me to grow, Holy Spirit. Show me things that are offending you, God. Show me things that I need to know for my life. Holy Spirit, change me from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is not about changing us from the outside in. He wants to change us from the inside out. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit, to be more like my Father. This month, everyone, I want to encourage you, let's together as a church take one step closer to God. What's that? One step. And I guarantee you it will change our lives. Take one step closer than you are at this very moment. Make sure that you're not letting past experiences or misconceptions about the Holy Spirit keep you away from allowing the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't let the Holy Spirit not be a part of your world. Because when you keep Him out, you're keeping God out. In conclusion, I just want to encourage us. You know, sometimes in the church world, I've seen people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and then people that are not. and they just go, man, I really would like it, and they're striving. And it almost becomes like a second-class citizen deal where, man, I've got it, but you don't. And I want to level the playing field and say every one of us can get the Holy Spirit. You run after it. And I love this statement that Chris Hodges made. He said, being filled with the Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. It changes me. And I just sense that tonight, we're not praying for the gift tonight. That'll come. What I'm praying for is an openness in your heart to say, Holy Spirit, I want all that you have for me. Holy Spirit, I want all that you have. Change me from the inside out. We bow your heads and hearts across this room, Jesus. I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to be here with us. Lord, you've not left us. You went to heaven, but you sent us the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, I'm thankful the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with us. I'm thankful for the attributes. The Holy Spirit will show us that voice that speaks into our heart. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. The Holy Spirit is our friend. He walks beside us. He helps us to be more like you. He helps us to change when we need to change. Lord, tonight I pray for people in this room. Lord, I pray you to encourage them. If there's anybody in this room tonight, you'd say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Jesus. The Holy Spirit might have been talking to you all night long. And this is your night. This is your night. The Bible says we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the Holy Spirit's drawing you to Jesus tonight. If you've never experienced salvation, you'd say, Pastor, tonight I need to do that. We just slip up a hand. I want to pray with you. Tonight, as we get ready to close, will you make that prayer, Lord? Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. Holy Spirit, I want more of you and all that God has. To be honest, as I was reading and I was studying for this sermon, I was convicted. I was convicted today in the last couple of days. In the sense that maybe I don't chase after enough of that refilling. And that was my prayer today is, Jesus, Holy Spirit, refill me. Holy Spirit, continue to fill me all the time. I don't ever want to take you for granted, Holy Spirit. And I think we can get so busy, we can get so focused on all kinds of different things that we take the Holy Spirit for granted. And across this room, will you come to the Lord tonight as we get ready to close and just pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, if you want me to be refilled, I'm open to that, Holy Spirit. If you want more of my life, whatever it is, will you just get before him and say, my life is open to you, Holy Spirit. And essentially you're saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, my life is open to you through the Holy Spirit. I want all that you have for me, Father. Your Holy Spirit is going to be what delivers that into my heart. Lord, I thank you for your people. I pray a blessing upon them. Lord, I pray that we identify what it is, the next step to get closer to you, Father. Lord, as we begin this journey, I pray, God, that we would be hungry to know more about your Holy Spirit. I pray for a breath of fresh air to just flow across this place. We love you, Jesus. Bless your people. Tonight, you're dismissed whenever you're ready to go, but I encourage you, don't get up without opening your heart and saying, Holy Spirit, I want all that you have for me. I bless you. I love you. We'll see you on Sunday.